God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He spreads the table. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bible, I'd like to turn to Romans chapter number 5. And I'll try to bring you the thought on my heart. Amen. Romans chapter number 5. Amen. Romans chapter number 5. They sang that song about praising Him. I want to lift up my hands. And it said, I don't want to forget His benefits. Of course, that comes right from the Psalms. You know that. But if we're not careful, we'll forget or we'll overlook or we'll take for granted the benefits of God. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord. I want this text that I'm going to read you is holy ground. Holy ground. And I pray God will help me get to you what He put in my heart. And He'll see fit to help us. I feel like He's already helping us, to be honest with you. And you pray for us. All right. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, amen. Amen, Lord, help us, amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, I want to thank You, Lord.
Help us, Lord, now. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you for that good prayer. Amen. This is going to be one of those two hanky days, I can tell already. Amen. Amen. And I have to remember to put my microphone on mute when I blow my nose, or else it goes all over the radio. Amen. Get snot all over everywhere. Amen. But anyway, good to be saved and to know and to feel it. Amen. This text that I read to you is a, as I said, it's holy ground. It's a wonderful text. All the book of Romans, but especially this dealing with justification and imputed righteousness. And Brother Hall made a statement Wednesday night, I think it was, at the close of service. Could have been on Sunday night. But at the close of service, he made a statement about peace. And I don't remember now exactly how it was. We talked about it one day, and I got to thinking it was Sunday night, because I got to thinking about it through the week and was led to this scripture and the thought here. And I guess I'm taking my text primarily from verse 10, really the whole thing. Let's look at verse 1. I can't leave verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, for if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more then, being reconciled, we shall be saved from wrath. So we were enemies. Did I say sinners? When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. And so here's my thought. I'm going to preach this morning on this subject. The peace treaty has been signed. Amen. The peace treaty has been signed. Now, this chapter, chapter number 5, actually is made up of only two paragraphs. Verses 1 through 11 is the first paragraph. Verses 12 through 21 are the last paragraph. So I read to you the first paragraph of the statement here about the peace treaty that God has signed with the sinner. And by the way, there's so much in this. I won't have time to deal with it. I could make a subject, and anybody, amen, could make a subject here and preach for a series on this and just take a lot of time showing you the wonderful blessings of God. Can I tell you that this paragraph gives us the truth and the promises that God has made to His children? Amen. But it also shows us some wonderful offers that He's made to the sinner that would just come to the Lord and cast his care upon the Lord Jesus Christ and would receive Him as his Savior. Amen. And by way of introduction, I want to mention to you some things. I pulled out 6 things in the first 5 verses that are great truths, glorious truths that I believe might encourage you in future study and thoughts on these verses. First of all, we notice peace with God in verse number 5. In verse number 2, we notice access by faith into this grace. Amen. In verse number 2, we notice the third thing, which is that we rejoice in the hope of future glory. Amen. And then number 4, we notice in verse 3 that we glory in present circumstances, present tribulations. We don't just have a future hope. We've got hope today. Amen. We've got a joy that we can go through our trials with, and we can face our troubles with the confidence knowing that we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so we can glory in the present tribulations. Number 5, we know that these present troubles and afflictions only work for our future and eternal benefit. Amen. And of course it dovetails in Romans 8:28. But we know that all these troubles, he talks about these troubles, a tribulation work of patience, it produces, it brings patience. And then patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So all these troubles that we face are actually working for our benefit and for our future and eternal good. And then the 6th thing I notice in verse number 5 is that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Now, I'd like to look at some other scriptures. I'm not going to have you turn. I jotted these down. I think I've got at least 30 other scriptures I want to allude to and show you some things in the scripture, if the Lord let me look at all of them, and just lay some groundwork and try to expound on the fact that the peace treaty has been signed. Now, I'd love to look at these points that I've looked at here and touched at already, but that'll have to be another day. Right now, I want to look at the text and get the big picture, get the overall before. I'd like to someday maybe dig into these one by one and pull out these things, but I want to get the big picture and say to you that the peace treaty has been signed. 3 things we got to notice if we're going to see that. First of all, we need to notice the ill will that separates us. The ill will. There is enmity between God and man. Amen. Man's on the wrong side of the battle of the ages. Amen. He's on the wrong side. And I take my text from verse number 10 in particular. He said, for if when we were enemies. And so I just underlined that phrase. We were enemies with God. We find throughout the scriptures that mankind by nature is at enmity with God, having everything to fear from a God who is angry with the wicked. Amen. Mankind has everything to fear from the hand of God, who is a just judge, who is a righteous judge, and who demands perfection in order to equate with Him. Amen. And so mankind has much to fear from such a God. In Psalm chapter number 94, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? So the psalmist David, as many of the psalms do, prays for God to pull out His sword, for God to charge with the sinner with His vengeance, for God to bring judgment and to bring justice on the earth. And so the psalmist is saying, God, You're the one that has been angered. You're the one that's been sinned against. You're the one that demands vengeance. And He said, when are You going to come and execute that vengeance? You see, mankind has sinned against mankind, but their greater sin is against God. It's one thing to fight against somebody that's fighting against you. It's another thing to fight against somebody that's done nothing to harm you.
Right.
Amen. Nothing but helped you. Amen. By the way, that's one reason we know that it hurts so bad many times when somebody turns against us, somebody that seems like we have gone out of our way to help, somebody that many times we have expended much time and effort, and it seems like we're more concerned about their spirituality than they are, and they turn against you, and that hurts you because you have expended that. You've not hurt them. You've tried to help them. And yet many times then they'll slander you, and they'll ridicule you, and they'll misunderstand what you're trying to do. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that has done nothing but good to us. And His goodness, as I said the other day, ought to lead us to repentance. His goodness ought to cause us to serve Him till the day we die. But yet we've sinned against the goodness of God. Therefore, He's angry with sinners. Amen. Mankind has sinned against mankind, and we've sinned against God. We have marred His beautiful creation. Brother and Sister Hall got to go out west and see some of those beautiful pictures, beautiful scenery, not pictures, but picturesque. The scenery, the beauty. Some of you have seen a lot of that. Can I tell you that the greatest beauty are places where men have not left their footprints. Amen. Where men have not marred. Men have not corrupted. Men have not trashed. Men have not made a garbage dump. But I'm telling you, all across our country, all across our world, mankind has marred the creation of God. But when I think about the beauty and the purity of a little child, and I think about these men and women that would mar that beauty, that would corrupt their mind, that would pervert their morals, that would harm their body, I'm telling you, it makes me angry, and I'm not nearly as holy as God is. I can only imagine how God must pull out His sword and wonder how much longer is He going to wait before He brings judgment on this earth. Amen. Mankind has overlooked the manifold blessings of God. Mankind has disgraced God's holy name. Mankind has drugged God's honor through the dirt and tried to shame Him. All of God's creation praises Him. All of God's creation serves Him perfectly except fallen angels and fallen man. Amen. God's bound the angels in darkness until the day of judgment. And He's given mankind an opportunity to repent. Thank God He has. Amen. It's no wonder God's angry with man. Mankind has corrupted their way on the earth and in the sight of God and have become His enemies. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says this, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Habakkuk said, God, You're too glorious to look down on sin-cursed man. And so why are You putting up with it? Why are You allowing it to go on? And so Habakkuk is saying to God, God, You ought to bring judgment against mankind. And God will bring judgment. Amen. Genesis 6 verses 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God got so sick of mankind that He sent a flood to destroy them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Thank God he did. But I'm telling you, God's going to send another judgment, and it won't be a flood, it'll be a fire. Amen. He's coming in fiery indignation and unleashing His fire on this wicked world one day. Amen. Job chapter number 19, verse 11. Job said, "He hath also kindled His wrath against me, and He counted me unto him as one of His enemies." I'm telling you, think of the might and the power of God. God's got all power in heaven and earth, and yet mankind is against God. Or maybe I should say God is against mankind because of mankind's sin. Psalm chapter number 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. Psalm 37:20, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away." God said the wicked are going to perish one day. Psalm 74, verse 10, "O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme Thy name forever?" Psalm 74, 18, "Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed Thy name." You know, it wasn't all that long ago when Rhett Butler first made that statement and cursed God on public television. And today they curse Him from daylight till dark, and on through the night they curse Him day after day. I'm telling you, there's text messages going across that screen that are filled with filth and vile and abuse the name of God. Amen. There are email messages going around our world that are filled with filth and vile and blaspheme in the name of God. There are songs that they sing that in their song they blaspheme the name of God and reproach the name of God. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that hears all those words. He sees all those messages. He's recording it all. Amen. And I'm telling you, He's going to bring judgment one day on sin. Amen. Isaiah 42, verse 13. "The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies." Isaiah 59, verse 18. "According to their deeds, accordingly He will repay. Fury to the adversaries, recompense to His enemies. The islands He will repay, recompense." Isaiah 63, verse 10, "But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them." It is one thing for a man or woman or boy or girl to curse the name of God and not know who they're cursing. It's another thing for them to know the goodness of God, to have sat on a church pew, to have heard the gospel message, amen, to have seen the blessings of God in the house of God, and yet harden their heart against God and put a flinty face towards God and refuse His blood and reject His offer of salvation and trample His blood underfoot and blaspheme them the name of God. God said they've become My enemy because they vexed His Holy Spirit. You can sin a lot of sins and get by. Now, I'm not saying you get away with it, but I'm saying you'll live a little longer. But when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you're in big, big trouble. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 14 and 15 and 16. The Bible said, "And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants, and His indignation toward His enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with His chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury, and His rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." Now, all those texts I've read, you've been Old Testament. Here's a New Testament text. James 4, 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Amen. We had the privilege on Friday evening, I guess it was, And we invited the Halls over and the Parsons over. Brother and Sister Parsons came and stayed here in the prophet's room on Friday night and left out yesterday morning early to go on to Rockford, Illinois. And by the way, pray for, he's preaching in the pulpit today. That pastor found out about a month ago he's got 3 months to live. And he's pastored that church over 50 years, I think they said. And he's an old man. Pray for that church as they try to find a pastor. But Brother Parson and Mrs. Parson were there. Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall. Brother and Sister Patton Auld, my wife and I. Brother Hall and Brother Parson got talking about war and military and that sort of thing. And they brought up I don't remember who brought it up, but they brought up an infamous name of a woman named Jane Fonda. I'm telling you, I know how I feel towards her, just what I've read. But I was not involved in what they were involved in and know what they know, amen, and feel the feelings that they feel. But here's my fact. You know what made her an enemy to American people? When she became friends with the Viet Cong. Amen. When she took up allegiance with the communists, she became an enemy to the people of God. Are you listening? I'm telling you, God said that the people that even of God can take up sides with the world. And God said, when you do that, you become an enemy of God. Amen. He said friendship with the world is enmity with God. And if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. That's what he said in the book. Amen. James, I'm just saying there's an ill will separating God from mankind. Amen. God is angry with the wicked. You see, mankind has set himself against God. Psalm 2, you know that psalm very well probably. About how the kings of the earth have set themselves. It's like they have stanced themselves ready to fight God. They have drawn the line. They have set up their military. They've got their guns aimed. They've got their cannons ready to fire. They are ready to go against God and are right now fighting against God. I'm talking about the nations of this world. Amen. And those people that have not come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, their allegiance is not to the Lord. Their allegiance is to the flesh and the world. Therefore, they're an enemy of God. That's what the Bible said. Mankind has set himself against God. Therefore, God has set himself against mankind. Hence, it is declared, Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Amen. God's not going to be on your side. You can put up them little stickers, smile, God loves you, to sinners all you want. But when they're against God, God's not smiling on them. And they don't have anything to smile about. Amen. God did love them. God does love them. God did offer His Son. I'm not saying God's not good to them, but I'm saying they're not a friend of God. They are the enemy of God. They've got to come to recognize that. Amen. They've got to recognize they have sinned against God before they can get any pardon. Amen. I'll read it again, Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57, verse 22 and 21, it's repeated. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So he said it all over again, but he gave us a picture. He gave us a picture of the troubled sea. If you've ever seen the ocean in a storm, or if you've ever just been out on a lake on a storm, you know a little something about that. And that water, that wind gets to blowing, that water gets to churning. I'm telling you, it's a fearful thing. And that water pulls up the dirt and the mire. I'm telling you, the heart of a sinner under the conviction of God. I'm talking about when God convicts their conscience, when God pricks their conscience, that they recognize they're against God and God's against them, their heart can have no rest. There can be no peace. Amen. He can find no comfort in drink. He can find no comfort in drugs. He can find no satisfaction in sex and in the world. Amen. Their heart churns up their bitterness. And when they lay their head down at night, they know they're not at peace with God. And should they wake the next day dead, they'd wake in hell. Amen. They know that. And so God said the wicked have no peace. There's no peace in their heart. Amen. They're looking for a little bit of peace. They're looking for a little bit of comfort. They're looking for a little bit of joy. They won't find it unless they come to God and find peace made with God. Amen. Amen. He gives us the idea of the uneasy restlessness of a guilty conscience. I want to say something I heard Brother Billy Mitchell say sometime. I've heard him say it a couple times, but some years ago I heard him say it first. He said, your conscience is not enough to save you. But if it ever dies, there's no hope of you being saved. Boy, that is a powerful statement. A man's conscience is not enough to save him. But if his conscience ever dies, there's no hope of him being saved. I believe that's right. You see, just the fact that you know you're wrong is a blessing of the Lord. It's a grace of God. Amen. That guilty conscience can have no rest. That guilty conscience must tremble at each breath. That guilty conscience must awaken at every fear and every noise. That guilty conscience is liable to be perplexed and attacked by all kinds of emotions of fear and even demons of hell that rail against them. By the way, the devil's not your friend. Even if you're on his side, he hates you just like he hates God. Amen. In hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. And they'll be gnashing on one another. They won't be friends in hell. There won't be a party in hell. You won't find comfort in hell. There'll be no peace for the wicked. That's what the Bible says. There are those who never seem to be concerned about their state of being an enemy with God. They never seem to have been awakened to that. The terror of the Lord has never dawned on them. It'll be a good day when it does. Amen. They better pray that it does. We better pray that it does. Amen. Amen. By grace, they have never come. I'm saying by grace, they have never come to fear the wrath of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not afraid of God, you have much reason to be in fear and dread. I know the slogan that went across for some years, and it said, no fear, no fear. The idea was to have no fear of man and no fear of God. I'm telling you, it's a fool that don't fear God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, you're a pretty big fool if you don't fear somebody sometime or another. Amen. Amen. With fear. I remember they picked up on that. Some of the rednecks picked up on that. And I can talk about it. I'm a redneck. Amen. Of course, you're not supposed to call them rednecks anymore. They're Appalachian Americans is what they are. Amen. I shouldn't do that. I can't help it. But rednecks came up with that slogan. Instead of saying no fear, they said ain't afraid. Amen. Ain't afraid. But I'm going to tell you, if the fear of God's never pricked your heart, you've never known grace. If you've never come to recognize you're at enmity with God. There was a man, he said he was a preacher. My dad pastored this little church for a little while right after he left Vision. I think he was there about 6 months. And it was a deacon-run church. And he finally let him have it. Amen. And but in a Sunday school class, one of the teachers, this was my dad's last Sunday. There's a Sunday school teacher got up and he taught. And he was teaching on the virgin birth of Christ. And he made this statement. He said, I heard a preacher on the television this morning. No, it was another man asked the question. He said, I heard a preacher on the television this morning said that Mary was a sinner and that she had to be saved just like everybody else. He said, what do you think about that? And that Sunday school teacher said, well, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to let the pastor answer that. And of course, my dad said, of course she was a sinner like everybody else. She talked about the Lord, my Savior. Amen. She had to be saved like everybody. We're not Catholics. We don't believe in the Immaculate Conception of Mary. Amen. Amen. She was not the eternal virgin, not the capital V virgin. Amen. She's just a woman that by the grace of God, highly exalted and favored above women. Thank God she was. But she's not God. She's not made a God. Amen. She was a sinner like the rest of us. Had to be saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like the rest of us. But there was a preacher there that took offense to that. And he said, I'll tell you something else I take offense to. He said, I take offense to that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He said, I never have been a wretch. My dad said, then you have never been saved by the grace of God. That is right. If you've never come to the place you've seen you're at enmity with God, you see you're a sinner fallen from the grace of God. I mean, fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. You've never measured up. You've never been able to acquire and equate salvation. Then you're still lost in your sin. Amen. There's an ill will between us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And we did, didn't we? Many of us still carry the scars and some of the memories of walking according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. Now we who are now saved were once children of wrath, even as others. There was a time we recognized we were against God and God was against us. We were strangers. Amen. And in order to have peace with God, we had to recognize that we were against God and beg God for forgiveness and peace. Amen. Amen. When we were strangers to the peace of God. We knew nothing about God. All we knew was the indignation and the wrath of God. Amen. By the way, that's the state of many people. That's the state they're born in. That's the state they grow up in. And they know nothing else. They don't notice. They don't recognize that they're on the wrong side of this fight, this battle of the ages. John Newton said it right when he said, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." Amen. Was grace when that light shined into my heart and let me recognize, hey, you're not as good as you think you are. Amen. Amen. It was grace that shined the light into me that said, you're not only not so good, you're in pitiful shape, you're in awful shape, and the only hope you've got is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I notice the ill will that separates us. Number two, there's the impeccable sacrifice for us. Three verses in my text. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, 8, and 10. And just a phrase in there. And I'll underline it as we go. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, here's my phrase, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, here's my phrase underlined, Christ died for us, thank God. In verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, here's my phrase, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His wrath. You see, verse 6 says that we were without strength. That means we had absolutely no ability. We had nothing to bring to Thy cross in my hand. Nothing I bring, amen, simply to Thy cross I cling. We had nothing to offer God. We pull up our works. Our works were as filthy rags in the sight of God compared to His righteousness. Amen. We bring forth our works. Our works were unrighteousness. Our works were wicked. Even the prayer of the wicked, the Bible says, is folly. I believe it says it's foolish. It's sin. Even the prayer of the ungodly is sin. The best we could merit without God is worthless to God. And so we were without strength. We had absolutely no way to help ourselves. Amen. We had no way to defend ourselves against the wrath of God. His argument in verse 6 through 11 is that if God was this good to us when we were enemies, think how He's going to bless us when we've been made family. Amen. Amen. And I'd love to hang on that. I don't have time to stay with that. But He said God was good to us. I want to focus on this thing about how we got from being enemies to being family. I want to think about how that peace treaty was signed. You see here, He tells us here that there was peace that can be and has been made between the sovereign and the sinner. How's that peace made? There's a peace treaty that's been signed. And it's been signed in the blood of God's own Son. Amen. Christ died for us. That's what He said. That's how the peace treaty was signed. Amen. As sinners, we were enemies against God and had nothing to equate with God. No way of making atonement. No sacrifice we could bring. No way to put aside the wrath of God. Thank God Jesus died for us. Amen. Amen. While all hope of man's being saved or man coming up with a plan of his own to bring salvation, all hope was taken away. God had a plan all along. Amen. God had a purpose all along. Amen. That plan was made before the foundation of the world. Amen. God showed us all through the Old Testament You can start in Genesis before they ever got kicked out of the garden. God said, on the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam died spiritually, but he didn't die physically. Why? Because a substitute took his place. Amen. They recognized their nakedness. And you can believe however you want to believe, but that I personally believe Adam and Eve got saved in that garden when they accepted that blood sacrifice. When they admitted what they were. I know Adam him hauled around. He said, it's a woman you gave me. Don't fuss at him. You do the same thing. Amen. And I know Eve, she sort of tried to shove along with it. It wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it. It was that serpent that come along and caused me to do it. And again, we do the same thing. But when they recognize their nakedness, who told you thou wert naked? I'll tell you who told them. The presence of God told them they were naked. That fig leaf looked all right to Adam and to Eve. That fig leaf looked all right to the devil. He said, that looks pretty good. But when God showed up, they knew they were naked. Amen. And God, in their conscience, showed them they were naked. You know what they deserved to do? They deserved to die. And Adam knew it. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew they ought to die. So when God made them coats of skin, I don't believe God just poofed them out there. I believe He took a lamb. I believe He slew a lamb that day. And I don't believe He let a lamb run around live, naked. I believe God killed that lamb. And when Adam saw that blood, he knew that ought to be his blood. When Adam saw that death, he knew he was responsible for that death. Amen. And God showed that day that an innocent could die for the guilty. Amen. And man's sin could be covered. Abel saw it when Abel came and offered a lamb. Where did he learn that? I believe he learned it at the knee of Adam. Amen. He learned it at the knee of Eve when they told him what God did in the garden. Amen. And when Abel slew that lamb, he said, an innocent is dying for me. Cain came along and said, I don't need that kind of stuff. Amen. Cain came along and said, I'll give my good works. I'll do my good deeds. And God will have to be satisfied with that. God said, I'm not satisfied with that.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And Cain, that was so finicky that he wouldn't slay an innocent lamb, slew an innocent brother.
Right.
And a righteous brother. Amen. In his sin. Well, I just simply say God showed us over and over through the Bible that an innocent, God provided that an innocent could die for the guilty. And it climaxed, it culminated on Calvary. Amen. When Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. When Jesus Christ took the cross and took our sin, when Jesus Christ took the cup, when Jesus Christ took the wrath of Almighty God on sin and bore it on His own body on that tree, the Bible said, I'm telling you, the impeccable sacrifice that God offered for our sin. Amen. Can I tell you, our lives never pleased God, therefore our death could never satisfy God. But Christ lived in a manner that pleased the Father. Amen. Every time God spoke from heaven while Jesus was here, He'd say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. Oh, you could run that thing all the way you want to go. I'm telling you, I don't believe there's a day ever pleased God more than when Jesus took those stripes on His back for me and you. When Jesus laid His life down on that cross for me and you. He was doing it to please the Father. He was doing it to satisfy law's demands. Amen. He is doing it to take the wrath of God. Hey, you and I could have an umbrella. Hey, you and I could have a safety to run to. Amen. That we could have a refuge from the storm, thank God. That impeccable sacrifice that God offered for us. Amen. A ransom for our sins. Satisfying God by His death. 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 5, verse 17. We know this, but I want to read down to verse 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I'm telling you, we've got good news to the world. The good news is not just smile, God loves you, something good's about to happen to you. The good news is that though you deserve hell, that though God's angry with the wicked every day, Christ took your punishment. Christ paid your penalty. Amen. Christ offers you salvation, and through him and him only you can be saved. Amen. That's the good news. That's the good news God offers to sinners. We have that ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Brother Mays Jackson had a sort of a picturesque way of saying it. He said, I can't find this in the Bible, but he said, I believe this is how it happened. It's not in the Bible. I'll tell you that right off. He said, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, I think he pulled one hand down off of the cross and reached up and got a hold of the hand of God. And he said, he pulled another hand off the cross and reached down and got a hold of the hand of man and united them together at the cross. Amen. Now, I know he didn't take his hands off the cross. He stayed there and died there for me and you. Amen. But he did reconcile us to God. God don't have to be reconciled to the world. God's done nothing wrong. It's the world that needs to be reconciled to God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. We were at enmity with God. There was an ill will separating us. But there was an immaculate, impeccable sacrifice that was made for us. And the last thing I want you to notice is the imputed salvation that is upon us. Verse number 1 of my text. Therefore, because all this, we can be reconciled. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When grace has her perfect work in the heart, and the sinner has been made into a believer. He's made a new creature. Amen. He's been made a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. His mind, he talked about that in Colossians 1:21, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. The mind of the sinner has now been changed. You've not changed the mind of God. He's changed your mind. Your mind is changed about sin, and your mind is changed about the Savior. But I want to tell you something else. Your mind is changed about the peace treaty. Amen. You go from being under condemnation to having received joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having received peace in your soul. Amen. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, the Holy Ghost takes His abode in the heart of the believer, and He testifies to us that there's peace in heaven. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 1. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Amen. Verse number 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. All of a sudden, instead of God being angry with us, we see the love of God. And God's love, because He loved us first, reciprocates love from us back to Him. Amen. And that's why we can sing, Jesus loves me. And when we say, Jesus loves me, we'll say, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Our heart goes out to Him because we recognize He saved us by His grace. Amen. Isaiah 32, verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the blessings we enjoy that I'm afraid a lot of times we overlook and don't contemplate is that we have peace with God. Amen. So what if Wall Street falls? So what if, I'm not looking for bad, but I'm saying, so what if the world ends tomorrow? We'll be in glory, thank God. Amen. We've got peace, made peace with God. Well, the believer is first taught by the indwelling Spirit to understand that God is well pleased with that sinner for Christ's righteousness' sake. Amen. God receives us in His name. He receives us in His stead. Amen. And as the song said, when He sees me, He sees the blood. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. This message is one that brings peace. And the gospel brings peace with this message. The troubled conscience can now be at rest. Amen. Can be quiet from the fear of evil. True happiness can now be found when you come to know peace with God. Amen. Amen. Not only has our peace been made known with God, have we made peace with God, but here's something. Not only do we not have the wrath of God shining down on us, but now we have the blessings of God showered down upon us. Not only have we been rescued from hell, we're going to be raptured to heaven. Amen. 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 Not only now am I not a sinner, I'm a saint, praise God. Amen. I'm a saint in the sight of God, and I ought to be a saint in the sight of men. Amen. Amen. Well, we're given blessings just like Abraham. When God said, Abraham, come out of that land of Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham obeyed. God counted it to him for faith, and God gave him that other land. Amen. Gave him a promise. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. We've got the same blessing that we can look for the same city one day. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just simply telling you, we in this life, we've got the blessings of God if we believe God for the saving of our soul. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Now I'm saved by the grace of God. Now I can stand in the sanctuary. I can stand in the assembly with confidence. And I can glory that I know I'm saved. I can say without a doubt I'm saved. I can say I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. I can say I'll meet you just inside the eastern gate. I can say I'll be waiting at the river. Amen. All those songs they sing at funerals, all those promises, I'm glad I can firmly promise you that I'll meet you in the morning. Amen. How can I make that promise? Because peace has been made between me and God. The peace treaty has been signed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not only peace, but joy. Amen. Joy he talks about in here. Amen. Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know what the idea about the hope of the glory? When God comes, when He whets His sword, when He wields His sword and fights against sinners, we'll be rejoicing in the glory of God. We'll say, God, you deserve justice. You deserve to have your way. You're doing right. And we're on the right side saying, thank God for the mercy of God as well as the justice of God. Amen. Amen. We're rejoicing in the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you why we can rejoice in His glory. Because we'll be sharing in that glory with Him. Amen. Amen. Do you know, I don't know all about everything that takes place in the heart and mind of my wife. But I'll say this, that when God's blessed and we've been here and we feel at home here, and I talk about those things, and we feel the joy and the presence, I feel the acceptance, my wife is glad to be able to share in that with me. Amen. Amen. You know why she's here? Because she's with me. Amen. That's right. Y'all didn't vote her in. Now you probably wouldn't have after the way she... No, I'm kidding.
But she's with me, is what I'm saying. I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, amen, we'll be rejoicing around the throne of God. But you know what part of the joy will be? That we're a part of that. We're not on the outside. We're not locked out. We're not strangers. We're not foreigners. We are partakers of His righteousness. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what the Apostle Peter, here's the way he said it. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 through 7. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible," amen, "and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you," amen, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now get this, "wherein ye rejoice greatly." He said we can shout that we're going to heaven. That's what he's saying. We can shout that we're going to heaven. But he said, I'm telling you, it goes more than that. He said, even when you go through trials, you can still rejoice going through those trials, because you're still going to heaven, and there's somebody going through those trials with you that is on your side. Thank God. Amen. Amen. "Wherein ye rejoice greatly, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Can I tell you, the Christian has a perpetual reason for rejoicing. Perpetual reason for rejoicing. Even though we do go through troubles. Amen. We can have a confident expectation. Amen. That one day our troubles will all be over. They're singing that song. The bells are singing that song. And a Rickard girl was singing along with them. She's singing that verse and talking about when we come to that place that we leave all these troubles behind. I'm telling you, what a day that'll be. It'll be glorious to see Him, but it'll be glorious to say bye-bye to all our troubles and trials. Amen. All the tribulations and temptations that come our way, it'll be glorious to be able to lay those aside and say goodbye forever to those things. Amen. Amen. Well, we can rejoice in confident expectation of eternal happiness. Amen. It excites our mind. Amen. And it blesses our heart. But we can not only expect happiness in the days to come, and because of the resurrection of Christ, but we can rejoice knowing that He's alive and with us today. Amen. And that He goes with us through the troubles. Brother Steve got on it in Sunday school this morning. About down in that valley, some things he found down in that valley. Amen. Old Gideon found God down in the valley. Amen. God, he said God was already down there, as if God, and it is, as if God said, "Get your troops up and head down there, and I'll meet you down there. I'll be there when you get there." He alluded to Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." Amen. God's already walked through that valley. He's made a path, and the door's open at the other end, thank God, because Jesus has already passed through that gate. Amen. And He'll carry us through as well. Amen. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. "Many are the trials of the righteous." Isn't that what the Bible said? "Through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God." But these trials, the Apostle Peter said, only represent the fact that we've made peace with God. Why does the world hate us? Because we're not part of them. We're not on their side. Amen. Amen. Well, we're rejoicing because of the grace of God. Let me give you a few more scriptures and I'll quit. Colossians 1:21. I've already used it, but I want to use it again. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Now there is something, and I don't know, I can't go this deep today. I don't know that I'll ever be able to, but I know I can't today. But there is something about God saves your soul, but God cleans your mind. He gives us a good conscience. He can take captive all those thoughts, amen, and make them subject unto Him. There's some way that God can wash our conscience, that's what He talked about, with His own blood. Amen. And here he said that he has given us, how's he said it? He has given us we've been alienated enemies in our mind, yet now we're reconciled. There is something about when a sinner gets saved, that God gives them joy that moment. I'm going to tell you, we ought to be able to tap into that joy every moment and every day. Amen. We ought to ask God to help us keep this mind in us, the mind that's in Christ Jesus, that we're not now enemies with God, but we're now saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us for thou hast wrought all our works in us. The peace treaty has been signed. And it's signed with the blood of God's own Son. Let's stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and we'll get a song. I hope somebody today that you recognize your enmity with God and that you might come and call on the Lord for salvation. That you might not only recognize your enmity, but you'd recognize that Christ took your place. He's the impeccable sacrifice offered in your place. Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd move in this auditorium, that you'd move over these airwaves, that some sinner might come to God by faith. Lord, I pray that you might illuminate their mind, quicken their mind, let the light shine through unto them, and them recognize their need of a Savior. Father, I pray that the saints might rejoice and live in this joy. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord. Okay.